WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right away, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you, and you should definitely listen to this one because I got a feeling it's going to be humdinger. It is not a Thursday night. Hi, Tim. It is a Saturday night. It is the night after, or the show after, night one of WrestleMania. And oh my God, are there going to be opinions on this show? I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash standing man, Sir Rockin.
Everyone's favorite WrestleMania, WrestleMania 17, 7 minutes and 40 seconds, 3 minutes and 53 seconds, 9 minutes and 28 seconds, 8 minutes and 32 seconds, there's a 2 minute and 38 second match, there's a 14 minute and 11 minute second match, a 3 minute and 50 second match, an 18 minute and 27 second match. Are we really complaining about short matches on WrestleMania, or do I gotta go through another card? Brent had another example. WrestleMania 4 had all short matches. Look up and down, chat. Every WrestleMania has short matches. Time it.
Also joining us is the intern King.
This is why we can't have nice things, y'all. This is why.
And I'm not advocating that the matches should be that short.
Look,
it's history.
I'm sorry.
There's history. There's facts. Look them up. Happens every year.
I'm sorry that this isn't, you know, we're in the middle of match 14 of a 25 match card. I'm sorry for all of you who want to complain about that.
Also, for those who...
I enjoy letting things breathe.
Me too. Also, for those who complain about ads, guess what? Talk to your Netflix provider. They're ads. Talk to ESPN. They're ads. It's business.
Watch a basketball game. Watch a football game. Watch hockey.
There's ads
everywhere.
Everywhere. Every arena you go in, there's ads too. Have you seen a baseball stadium these days? There are ads everywhere. There's ads on everyone's jerseys in all sports. Come on. It's over. And it's mainstream people who are doing it too. It's like, have you never watched anything? Have you watched the Super Bowl? Come on. Like, come on.
Where people watch for the ads.
Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we complaining about? And Tim made this comment, and Tim, I'm sorry for yelling, but here's the thing. You say it's not a very good show. They tried so much stuff tonight.
They gave you surprises? They gave you unexpected match results?
Like, what do you people want? What does the internet want?
14 flips in a match. Blood everywhere.
Was tonight's
main... There was blood everywhere.
There was blood everywhere. Tonight's main event was convoluted, and we knew that going in.
It was never going to be a straight, upright, 35-minute wrestling classic.
And when the report came in last night or this morning or whatever that Randy was hurting, what else are you expecting? Like,
they're going to tell a story. They're going to... Well, and then I was telling Lindsay, like, we're going to have to see what happens with that stipulation because something may happen because of the main event. We'll see. He signed a paper last night, so who knows?
Like, come on. Anyway... We were talking about WrestleMania Night 1 of 42. Where do you want to start, Lindsay?
Okay, let's start with our overall thoughts and
opinions. I think we gave our overall thoughts and opinions.
Well, I didn't get to give mine.
Go for it, Lindsay.
This was fine. I will address the elephant in the room. For me, this was not the most exciting WrestleMania ever, right? This was not. Like, there have been better WrestleManias... Especially better night ones. Was it bad? No, absolutely not. It was not bad. I feel like we got a good show. We had the surprises. We had unexpected results. Some of them I don't necessarily agree with, but we got them.
Touch on that.
We'll touch on that. So I think for what they tried to give us, it was good. It was fine. It was decent. That is the best I can say about it, but it did not blow me away by any stretch of the imagination. And we'll see what night two does, but there were a couple matches on this card or on this show that I felt like were going to be better, and they weren't. They were just sort of there. They were just sort of meh. And I understand people were coming in hurting. I understand people were coming in and trying to do their very best. But I felt like overall there were some issues on this show. And that deserves to be acknowledged. Do I think people should be sitting there with stopwatches? No. I don't know why you do that. Why? I mean, I guess people have to do it for Wiki. But, like, why? I don't understand. Like, if you don't like the product, don't watch it. But anyway, and that is not to say that, you know, you can watch something and not agree with it or not enjoy it or not like it. Because, obviously, tonight is an example of I didn't fully enjoy the show. But it didn't leave me with a bad feeling, and it's not going to impact whether or not I watch night two tomorrow. It just impacts on how much I'm going to pay attention tomorrow because I have the time that I can watch it again if I want. Yay, replays. And that's generally what's been happening lately. So I'll watch it again before we do the show on Thursday. So I remember because it's like, it's kind of one in one ear and out the other. So I need to remember what all happened. But like, this was a 4-hour show. The presentation was great. Let's dive in at the start of the show. The 6-man tag team match with the Usos, Jay and Jimmy, and LA Knight.
Yeah.
Taking on the Vision, Logan Paul and Austin Theory, with I Show Speed as their partner.
I Show Speed coming out with his cape. Like you do.
I mean, I respect that he dressed the part. Like, good for him. He got gear made for this. Let's go.
It was your standard 6-man tag team match.
With a celebrity involved.
With a celebrity involved. Who made every spot he was supposed to take. He was there perfect on timing. We watched, you know, we did Sims last night, and Jimmy Uso did like the Whisper and Wind spot, and we said, oh, he never does that. And guess what? He came out on television. He
broke it out.
They spied on our Sims. I swear to God, they spied on our Sims.
And he did his twisting moonsault thing. So how about that? Because it is a moveset.
I will say one thing. You can give shit to celebrities being involved in matches and wrestling and everything, but you have to also, in the same breath, admit, IShowSpeed is a pretty damn good athlete, and he showed it in this match.
Well, we say it every time we see a celebrity appearance now. There is a bar. There is an expectation that they are going to do more than hit one move. Like, we've seen enough celebrities come in and they've dedicated themselves to training, to learning the art, to learning the craft, and not making assholes of themselves. Because let's all be real, nobody wants to look like an idiot on this size of a show, right? Where it's like, oh, well, yeah, I trained for a week and that's it. No, it's like you have Bad Bunny training for months on end. You have Jelly Roll training whenever he can for months on end. IShowSpeed, the same. Like, they're coming in and they're learning and they're able to contribute more and participate. Because I'm sure for all of these people coming in, it's like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm going to make the most of it. Like, this isn't just their agents booking them on something random. It's, I think everybody that's a part of it wants to be there, right? They want to be involved. They're interested in the product. They're interested in the sport. And they want, you know who I'm surprised they haven't gotten, just because we're going to segue because I can? I'm surprised they haven't gotten Kittle.
I think that's a contract issue.
Yeah, he's legally not allowed. He was allowed to drink.
I was going to say, I don't think he can physically get involved because that could bring in things. If he were to get hurt, that could essentially void his NFL contract.
Because he's tried. And they've told him no.
With Why'd Gronk, you... I want to say the only way he got involved was he was retired.
He was technically retired and then was leaning towards
to come back. And
yeah, it's why Tyrese Halliburton can't do anything physical, even though he wants to. So the NBA won't let him.
So when they retire, that's going to be their first stop, isn't it? They're going to call
old
TKO, and they're going to be like, I want in, let me in. But yeah, no, Kittle can drink. Like, goddamn, Kittle can drink.
I want to see him take on the guy from Green Bay.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
The one that's always at like the Bucks games and just chugging.
Get Kelsey involved too.
I mean, he's been.
I mean, Kelsey may be the next one to take over for someone in the WWE.
What else hasn't he done? He was playing hockey. There was a clip of him trying hockey today.
Well, remember, he went through the table in Buffalo. That's prep work.
He's done bobsledding.
No, wait. I have an idea for how they could get on WrestleMania and not be physical. They do a keg stand contest.
No, that would take away from the actual
Lane Johnson
wrestling.
Wasn't physical, was he?
A little, but it was very safe, and they did training.
Wasn't it like a push into the...
Yeah, he got approved for that, because he wasn't taking a bump of any kind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a solid tag match.
Speed got his spots in.
Got his spots
in. I do have to say, I really enjoyed, because Lindsay brought up the idea of, you know, them training and them putting in all of the work. If you haven't, go watch the videos that were a part of IShowSpeed training with Randy Orton. And you can see, like, the way that he sells and the way that he got one over on Randy and the way that, you know, Randy's telling him how to do certain things. Yeah, it's all set up for stuff like this so that when he gets on the main stage, it looks legit.
Yeah, I mean, again, they don't want to look bad and the company doesn't want them to look bad because then that defeats the purpose of bringing them on, mm-hmm. right? Like, all of this is collaboration. It's marketing. It's using Speed's audience to get the WWE stuff across to them. And it's using the WWE audience to get Speed across. That's what this whole thing is. And so the last thing you want, if you're Speed, is to go out there and be the guy that screwed up WrestleMania, right? Like, nobody wants that mantle. Absolutely nobody.
And I love in the match they even brought up the thing, because Austin screaming at him, remember when he threw you into the computer. Do this.
Yeah. Just, you know, just little callbacks. But yeah, the match was fine. I think I expected it to be just a little bit more. Like, I don't know if the chemistry was off or what was really going on. But it just felt... It didn't feel like they hit third gear, and that's going to be the comment a lot tonight, is it didn't feel like they hit third gear.
But what I think... I think for this, they didn't have to hit third gear because what happened at the end.
Yeah, yeah, so it was more about the angle at the end than the match itself, because Logan Paul turned on Ishio Speed because Ishio Speed only had one job, and he failed to do his job, and...
He ran into Logan during the match.
Yeah.
And then Austin Theory got into his face and they collided, which cost the match.
Yeah. Oh, internet, you're the best. So we'll get to the
get
thing
off the internet.
No, I'm not. I haven't touched it, changed the internet, but it's the top news on the internet. Fans dread Hayes and Rude producing Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. Thank you, AI summary of events. Anyway. So what happened was he was going to put Speed through a table, but the Usos and LA Knight had other ideas, and it ended up being Ishio Speed putting Logan Paul through a table, and boy, he hit it strong.
Oh yeah. He hit that perfect.
That was picture perfect, like textbook.
And they got that thing from all the angles, too.
They got all the angles. He got a lot of height.
Yeah, he did. Like, he got up on the top, and it's like, oh, God, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, Speed, no, and then he hit it, and it's like, because you just saw him bump, and he bounce off of Logan when he hit it, and he went into one of the chairs, and it's like, oh, that's gonna hurt, because he kind of laid there afterwards, and I know he was selling, but you could tell he was kind of like, ow.
Didn't expect that bounce.
Yeah.
The Usos got him right up after.
And they're like, you good? You good? You good? Yeah, you're good. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine.
Pull him up. We're going. We're going. That's all right. Let's get out of here.
It's like, come on, dude. Come on. We got a schedule to keep.
Yep. So there's your WrestleMania moment number one of the night. Trends worldwide.
Time it, baby. Up next, we have the story of the toolbox. Jacob Fatu taking on Drew McIntyre in an unsanctioned match. And I have one question for everyone. What did Drew use to open the door? Was it his mighty sword or his other mighty sword or witchcraft?
Yes, that's exactly what he did. All the things. Jacob Fatu had a great entrance.
Oh, he had a fantastic entrance.
Oh, the fire spinners were fantastic.
This match lived up to the hype.
Yeah, it did. This was good.
Rock, what did I say on Friday I wanted to have happen?
What?
I said, I want that match to start outside. I want Jacob to get at Drew before we really got a bell, anything like that.
What you want, LeMans? Blood everywhere?
Okay, hang on. Time out. With all respect, unsanctioned match doesn't mean it needs to be a GCW death match. I understand that we've seen that time after time for all of this, and I commented in our group during the match that, people are going to complain there isn't blood in this match. The match was plenty violent without needing blood or anything like that. We got going through tables. We got energetic stuff. We got, you know, a toolbox, tools, all of that involved. We didn't need blood. We didn't need that. And again, Drew being put in this kind of match knows we can be physical. We can be involved. It doesn't have to be over the top.
We're not going to get gore and violence on ESPN2.
You're not going to get that in WWE.
He's bringing up Kevin and Sammy. You're not going to get what Kevin and Sammy did on regular television. It's not happening. Because
this was on ESPN2.
Yeah. Like, you have to... You have to look where people are and the program they are. Just because other promotions do all that on different networks, that's because that they're rated a different way. WWE is a PG company and are on regular cable television for the biggest show of the year for an hour. They're not going to go all out and make it this amazing bloodbath, violent, crazy fest. It's not going to happen. It's just not. But for the violence they delivered, and for the style these two work, because think about it, Drew McIntyre is not a no DQ type fighter. He didn't work that style ever in his career. Like,
But Rock, you don't want to see a needle go through some guy's cheek?
No, never wanted to, ever. Like,
he's,
I know.
Okay, Lamance, he's not annoyed with it, and I'm, that's why I said also on my part, respectfully.
It's respectfully. You're allowed to have your... It's not you. I've been yelled at on the internet for the last hour, so you guys are just getting the result of it. I apologize.
And again, I fully respect that, yes, you wanted something a little different. That's totally understandable. I'm just saying the fact of, like, I believe in today's product, we're almost becoming desensitized, in a sense, to what a hardcore match should be. And I'm saying that off of examples that I've seen in the last 3 months, where in the first 5 minutes of a match, they're bringing, kayfabe glass out for spots, and you would never see that in other stuff, unless it's backyard wrestling. You know, you're seeing people bringing in light tubes, and it's just like, do you really need that? Because at that point, it's just violence for violence sake. You're not telling a story. What they're trying to do here is tell the story of Drew and Jacob, and the fact that Drew has been saying shit for weeks. And if you listen to the pre-show, he again was talking about the fact of his, of Jacob, like, abandoning his family because he's going to prison again in the future because people have recidivism when it comes to that. That's some messed up shit that someone's going to want to get their hands on him for. So
yep.
I think they're going to be violent, but I'm not expecting Jacob to pull out bamboo skewers and put it into someone's head, because what's the point of that? That's just my take on it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this just from the perspective of a slightly different opinion. The match was fine. It was very enjoyable. It was a bit of a tease that Rudy Charles, Dan Engler, whatever the hell you call him in WWE, had gloves on before the match ever started. That was essentially announcing the possibility of blood, and I understand and I acknowledge that they are under no obligation to give it to us, right? Because this is WWE. They do not do it in that instance unless it's generally the hard way. We very rarely, if ever, see blading anymore. That's why when you see blood in WWE, it's very impactful, because you know it is actually 9 times out of 10 legit. But in this instance, because the ref was wearing gloves, I think there was like the fact that this was unsanctioned, I think there was an anticipation of at least some blood. And I'm not saying it would have added a bunch to it, but just a little color, I think, would have been good, especially like at the end with the toolbox hit. Like, they don't need to have like both have sheets of blood on their face, but like with Jacob knocking Drew out at the end and laying him out on the table with the toolbox, like, even a little something would have been, I think, fine. Like, does it really need it? No, but I think it would have helped. Just a smidge, just a touch, just to enhance the match just a little bit. But that's just me. Like, I don't think it needed it the whole way through. I think it was fine as it was. I think just as an improvement, a little color in that instance would have been okay. Especially since we know that we're not necessarily going to see it the rest of the night. Like, if you're going to do it, that's the match to really kind of do it in. But as it turns out, we got it in the main event, like a lot of it. So, it was fine. But, like, I think the match overall had the right intensity. I think Jacob made himself tonight. He looked fantastic tonight. Drew did his part very well. Sold like a champ for Jacob. I like the story that they told throughout the match. Like, the beginning where Drew, where Jacob got the toolbox out and Drew was like, whoa, 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 bud. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I regret my life choices.
Whoa, not the face. Gotta leave me pretty, buddy. Not the face. But like that whole story that they told through the match was very, very good. And I enjoyed the match. And we got the outcome we wanted, which is Jacob winning. He looked like $1 million, and this is just going to help elevate him just a little bit.
A pseudo number one contenders match.
Yeah. This helps put him in line for Cody, essentially, because spoiler, or Punk, assuming Punk retains tomorrow. We don't know, but there you go. But yes, I also would agree, just to sort of like comment on that as well, that I think we have become desensitized in terms of what hardcore and violent matches really can be. And I think there has been an escalation in violence. that has fed that, because if it's not, like, you hear it a lot, if it's not at a certain level where there's light tubes or needles or sheets of blood or whatever, it's not considered good. This was good without it. This is how you tell a story without blood. Because I think what people don't realize is there's a health implication. When you blade, you're putting your own health at risk, because it's not good for you to lose a lot of blood, right?
Not just that. I mean, look at some of the older wrestlers nowadays. Their forehead is like roast beef.
Oh, yeah. It's you. They're all like Dusty Rhodes. Jesus Christ. But like, just from a health standpoint, it's not good for them to lose a large amount of blood, especially when they're performing and they're pushing even more blood out of their body as they're performing. It can lead to very serious health concerns. If you don't believe me, go find the time that Taker cut one of the main arteries in his fucking face and almost bled out.
Or Eddie Guerrero taking that one chair shot, or... But aside from the health risk one person suffers, it's also not healthy to have two people actively bleeding and exchanging with one another, because you could end up in situations where blood mixes or blood gets into someone, and that could transmit something that we just don't know.
We like to assume that everybody's healthy and STD-free.
But I mean, for a while, that's what
kept... But you don't know.
Nigel out of the ring, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Well, plus there's all kinds of dirt and sweat and germs and everything else in the ring. Like, God knows what that will do to you as that gets into your system. Like, I'm sure there you'll be fine because you get used to it after a while, but it's like you're putting yourself at risk, because if that goes into your bloodstream and you get an infection and you go septic, that's not a fun time.
Well, I mean, if you want a perfect example of what can happen in a match, they just showed 5 minutes ago on the post show. Cody's looking rough right now.
Yeah, Cody's eye is messed up.
That left eye is swollen shut. And he's got blood all on him, so...
Yeah, that's going to be stitches for sure. But yeah, great overall match. And it was long enough, guys. Anyway.
I do like Jacob's celebration where he went into the crowd to find the one sign.
It was so cute. It was so adorable. He's like, oh my God, a fan! And he runs over.
Good.
I know he's supposed to be like the Samoan werewolf and big and scary, but that man is just a big teddy bear and I cannot be told otherwise.
See, I like that they're making Jacob kind of like a person of the fans here with this, because if you've also seen some of the behind the scenes with Jacob Fatu,
mm-hmm.
you know he's a big goofball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you saw him, I can't remember what it was, but I think it was like last Mania or two Manias ago, where they had like video of him behind the scenes and he's just dressed normal and he's watching like Roman come out or like one of the, or like the Usos come out, and he's just goofy as shit, like cheering with the fans, getting into it. And then he goes back to Gorilla like, oh, hell yeah.
Like, he's so sweet.
You can tell he's having a ball being with family up on the main roster.
He's having a fantastic time. He is literally living his best life, and we all love that for him. So keep it up, Jacob. We hope you do big, great, wonderful things. Up next, we have your four-way tag team match for the Women's Tag Team Championship. The Irresistible Forces, your champions, defend against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, which no notes on the outfits. Love the Bray Moth, love the butterfly, love the split entrance. Zero notes, fantastic. And the Bella Twins. Except, well, Nikki can't really wrestle. She didn't get cleared.
There's a reason.
Because I think she had to have surgery.
Yeah, her ankle's fractured.
Fracturing her ankle and sprained it. I'm like, how do you do all three at once? Like, holy shit.
Look, as we know, when Nikki does stuff, she does stuff big.
She did it right, man. She fucked her ankle properly. She's in a walking boot.
She is in a walking boot. And according to her, the person you're about to talk about, she apparently saw in Birmingham at the same time.
Oh, well, there we go.
There you go. So, you know, Bree's good to go. And, well, they need a partner. And they found a partner. And once this is a bit of a homecoming for her.
Once a total diva, always a total diva.
Making her return to WWE is Paige.
The secret we kept from Lindsay.
A secret we kept from Lindsay.
I said Thursday night, I didn't want spoilers. Or we did last it. Night, too.
Yeah,
I didn't
want spoilers. We found about it Friday morning, and Lindsay didn't want the spoiler. And that's why we didn't give it to her.
Nope.
I want to be surprised this WrestleMania. I don't want to be spoiled, so I've been avoiding Twitter. And in part because I was also really busy at work this week, so I'm very behind on everything. But I decided I don't want spoilers. I just want to enjoy the show and see what they give to us. And so Paige was definitely a surprise.
Big surprise.
A huge surprise. And this match was...
better than I thought it was going to be.
I'm trying to figure out a way to call. It was good. It was a bit chaotic at times, but you have four teams all going at once. So you had a lot of stuff going on at any given time.
Yeah, it flowed better than I thought it would be. I thought Paige, who hasn't wrestled since 2024, I think.
Yeah, just after All In London last.
So 2024. So it's been almost a year and a half since she's wrestled.
I was going to say at least a year and a half.
She looked better in this match than she did at any point in AEW.
Yeah.
She moved a lot better. This is a better pace for her. She is not an AEW. She doesn't work the AEW style like the... like she thought she could. I look at the Iconics. I feel pity for them because they're not going to work the AEW style. It's just not who they are. They should be here. But I thought she looked really good in her work. And yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing with Paige, WWE, and I said this during the show, WWE does a really good job with people like Paige, with AJ Lee, with some of the, you know, Jade Cargill is another good example, where they know what your strength is. Mm-hmm. They also know what you're not very good at or what they may need to disguise is the best term I can use for this. And what they will do is they will create spots and matches to best utilize that. And tonight was a great example because how late in the match did they get before they gave you Paige?
Pretty long.
They had you wanting that and building up to it. It was the same time with when they had Jade in that six-person tag at WrestleMania. You wanted to see Jade, but they knew, we're going to pull it as long as we can until we get to that point. Then you're going to pop like crazy. And then we're going to give you the burst that you need to feel kind of satisfied with it.
Mm-hmm.
And to best play off of what Paige was doing. She's able to hit moves that she can. She's not trying to hit big spots. You know, she's not trying to prove that, oh, look, my neck is fine, like she did in AEW when she was taking, like, neck breakers off of the apron, which was really stupid, in my opinion. But it's that kind of thing, like, it's not these big, oh my God, kind of spots. It's, okay, we're playing to her strengths, we're letting her perform, and if we need to, we're letting other people come. Like, they milked that Charlotte Paige spot out to really play up the fact of, like, remember, these two fought each other for a while in NXT, now they're back. So they really did well telling a story and letting things breathe like they needed to.
Yeah, they did. It's Wrestling 101. You build to the hot tag, and that's what they did. They built to the hot tag. And the crowd knew the moment to cheer for Charlotte versus Paige, so you could run that back at some point. They clearly mentioned PCB on WWE TV, because, you know, that was a thing. Alexa had a great gear. Charlotte, once again, had gear inspired by the little girl, so that was awesome. The little girl was also at the show.
As Lindsay said, that entrance... 10 out of 10, no notes. Someone needs to talk to Bailey and Lyra, though.
Yeah.
Be on the right side of the ramp if you're doing a dual ramp thing.
You know, you get excited. It happens.
I get that. It's also one of those things, like, after a while, you can't, like, switch because then it's obvious. But you could kind of, like, look down and you were like, well, there's the Bailey yellow part and then there's the Lyra blue. Oh, shit.
Well,
maybe they were trying to do a thing and it just didn't come across.
Who knows? Props to Nia and Lash for Demolition tribute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so close though, so close. They needed to have the makeup on under it to really sell it.
And they weren't going to do that.
No, but they could have. That would have been, like, I would have popped hard if they took the mask off and they had the old school, like, spikes for Smash and, like, the axe for Axe. I would have just popped hard.
So, just for social media sake, in 3 hours, the return clip of Paige in WWE, 2.3 million views.
There you go.
Just on Twitter.
There you go.
There's your money back. I still think Bayley and Lyra should have won. I agree. Crazy to think it seemed more in Paige and Brie because it was the moment. They wanted the moment. I knew the moment they spotted her in rehearsal, they were winning.
Yeah, Bayley got passed over winning the tag titles. I understand that. I will say I think Bayley will fully enjoy the fact that she won the women's title at Mania 2 years ago. And honestly, I think she's just kind of happy being on the card this year as opposed to being written off a couple of weeks before.
Yeah, she's on the show. Paige and Brie are not your long-term tag team champions.
This is a spot, and this is if you wanted to. I was going to say, if you wanted to, you could set up a Paige-Nikki feud, but I don't think Nikki's going to be healthy for a little while.
No, I think she's out for a hot minute. That's a problem.
So it was a little bit of a problem. But I expect they can drop the belts to Paige and to Bria, to Bayley and Lyra at some point, and it'll be fine. It'll be no harm, no foul. You don't get them at WrestleMania, you get them, maybe you get them Raw after Mania, a big moment, I don't know.
Or Backlash, or
whatever, you have plenty of opportunity. And Bayley will want to work with Paige again, because I don't think they ever got to do a lot together.
Well, based on the teaser that got put out tonight of, you know, the Bellas and AJ and Paige throwing up the four horsewomen sign, we do have three of the horsewomen in WWE. You could add a fourth to that, because technically I think Alexa could fit into that if you wanted to, or anybody else. But just saying that could be a thing. Just throwing that out there.
So that would be WrestleMania moment number two.
I do want to say this. Like, I hope things go well with Paige. I was happy to see her, but I don't know if I was excited to see her because I have very mixed feelings about her in general. So I feel like there's kind of has to be like a wait and see approach on her.
Totally understand that.
Just to make sure that correct choices are made. Because she does have history, and I know things are better and she's doing really well, and I love that for her. I'm happy for her, and as long as she's okay, that's great. That's what matters. But there is a history of poor choices there that you just kind of are like, oh, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, I wonder if some of the current landscape may also affect some of that, the fact that she's gone elsewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact of, like, okay, she sees the grass maybe wasn't as green over there, or maybe the fact that she has come back takes that possibly off the table. So now it's kind of like, okay, I need to... Well, also, she came in at 18.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's older, she's more mature.
She's experienced a lot, and maybe it's one of those things also of, like, I've gotten some stuff out of my system, I know what I'm doing now, and also... Maybe I don't have certain things out there that I can leverage, so I might need to behave a little more.
Yeah, so we'll see. I hope she succeeds. I hope everything goes well for her. Like, that would be amazing, because I know she worked very hard to come back after she was forced to retire due to her neck. So she worked very, very hard to come back from that. And so may she have a good second run. And may she achieve everything that she wants to achieve. But I'm very much taking a wait-and-see approach. As for Brie and Paige winning the titles, I'm not fond of it. I'm not a fan of it. I think I'm with Omanz. I would have liked to have seen it go to Bayley. That's what we wanted when we were talking about it on Thursday, because we didn't know if it was going to be the Bellas, if they were going to be involved. But the second that Paige walked out, it was like, fuck. I know exactly where this is going.
It's the Hardy syndrome. When they walked out at that one Mania for the tag team ladder match, you knew.
Oh my god, that tweet. Oh my god. But yeah, so we'll see. But congratulations to Paige and congratulations to Brie and Nikki, because I think she is technically a co-tag team champion. So we'll see where this goes. I don't expect it to be long term. I'll third that. I would expect them to maybe have it like a month max before it moves. Like, they obviously went for the moments. They went for the clips for the socials and the YouTubes. And that's where we're at.
Did the same thing last year. Becky returned. You put to change the belts. A day.
They dropped them the next night.
Yeah, they dropped them Monday.
I will say, for a lot of people complaining about this, there is one kind of bright spot about this. For all the people complaining, the belts are off Nia and Lash, so...
You did get your wish there, y'all. You did get your wish there. I don't know if this is better for you, but you did get what you asked for, so you can't be too mad about it. moving on to what is the finale of a long feud. Becky Lynch took on AJ Lee for the Women's Intercontinental Championship.
All right. One, Becky got the musical live performance. Fantastic by the Wonder Years.
Yep.
I was like, the Wonder... when they first said Wonder Years, like, what? Oh, man, I forgot. All right, that's the name of the band. So that was cool.
I'm like, why is Fred Savage coming out at WrestleMania? Oh, wait.
Right, well, wait.
Wrong thing. Wrong property.
So that was cool. Cool entrance. And AJ Lee had an adorable entrance with all the girls. She won a representation of all the fans that have supported her and all the things. And everyone wears shirts, her shorts, the boots, and all the things. That was the genesis behind her entrance, which was awesome.
I love that. And the love the one little girl who ran right back out.
Yes! The one girl that went rogue, and she was just running back and forth in the entranceway. It's like, aw, honey. The ADD got you, didn't it?
That is the left shark of WrestleMania or 42 right there.
This told the perfect story. You had Jessica Carr as the referee. She played a big part in the match. Everything worked.
She played a spot when it needed the spot, but she wasn't overacting to get to that point.
No, she was doing her job.
If anything, it was Becky's involvement that brought her in.
Right, she did her job, but she played her part.
Yeah, and we finally got the moment with Jessica Carr just having enough of Becky's shit.
That was fantastic. That was so well placed, so well done. Where Jessica just pushes her back and she thinks about it for a moment and she's like, no regrets. No regrets. I do it again. Give me another shot.
Nothing offensive, though. It was simply pushing her away and letting Becky do whatever she wanted, or letting Becky take whatever next move she wanted.
But yeah, this was a fantastic conclusion.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You never know.
They could draw this feud out.
I don't think they would.
I would hope.
I didn't hear what AJ had to say on the post show. I know they interviewed her, but I didn't see it.
She was like, I hope to see you down the road. I think she's banged up a little bit. So
she had a nasty like bump or bruise on her thigh, essentially.
Well, also, Rock, you brought up a good point. What happens in a month?
Backlash.
No, they go overseas.
They go overseas, and apparently AJ may not be listed for that tour. So
you can't use her. So.
Right, this is your chance to kind of let her disappear for a little bit. Plus, I think AJ's biggest selling point, or, you know, the best way to use her, is those spots of, like, when the music hits, you get the big pop, as opposed to having her around every week.
No, she doesn't need to be around every week. You use her as a, quote-unquote, part-time performer, and you do it in spurts. You don't have to have her there physically involved in the programming every single week. Because that's not what her role is. It's not why she came back.
God, now that Becky has the title, I want to see Monday. I want to see if the angle plays out, because it would be amazing if it did.
We talked about it on Thursday. Me and Brent had an angle. Lindsay added onto it on Thursday. And now that she's back, the Paige angle, have someone randomly come up from NXT and show up and beat Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental title on Monday.
There's two choices, apparently, that are ripe for call-up from what we've heard.
Sol Ruka is our choice, but I'm not. She's a difficult one now because she has the match on Tuesday, so I don't know.
Does have the revenge match with Zarya to write her off if need be.
Yeah, so I don't know, but it would be great if it happened.
But there's another person you could still do it with.
Who's that?
JC.
Yeah, but she's a heel, and I don't know if the heel works as well.
She is a heel, but remember, how did she win the NXT title that she held for so long?
Yeah,
she went very much a surprise.
You could do it.
Win.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I think Sol would be the better choice.
Sol would be better for the pop in the moment. especially if she can hit Becky with the Soul Snatcher.
I would call up at least Fallon with her.
Yeah, if JC is getting called up, if they leave the rest of Fatal Influence down, I hate to say it, those two, the other two girls are dead in the water. As much as I love Fallon Henley, I don't think she right now can float on her own. They would need to put some heavy investment in her her back up as an individual.
They could. But yeah, this was a good match. A very enjoyable match. And you move stories on.
Yeah. It's my hope, like, they can come back to it in the future, but it's my hope that they move Becky on and AJ goes and takes a nice rest, and then when they need her again, she comes back. Because I think the problem with this, like, especially with some of the returns we had tonight and the surprises, is that there isn't room for everybody. And as much as I love AJ and as much as I love Paige, I do want the people that have been here to be given the opportunity to shine. And for the people that are coming up from NXT, I want them to have that same opportunity. And they may or may not get that if the roster's already full, if it's already overloaded, right?
Yeah. Because
they do have a very stacked women's roster, which is amazing. That's awesome. Like, how many times do we wish they had this? But it doesn't leave a lot of gaps for people to move up. And that's why we've seen some stagnation in NXT, especially with, like, JC Jane. She's been down there forever because they just don't have a place for her.
Yeah, I'm hoping coming out of this, they have something for the IC title that really doesn't involve Becky Lynch moving forward. And Rock and Lindsay can attest, I am a huge Becky fan for a long time. But I just feel like she's been in that picture, she's had that belt, and it's just kind of like, I've seen it for quite a while now, I need something else. Because though she lost the belt to Maxine, she was still hovering in that field.
It's been a great placeholder for her in terms of she hasn't had, like, anything to do in the main title picture. They have purposely held her out of that main title picture, and they put her in that IC title hunt. And she's held that down, and she's been a part of that now for, I want to say, at least like a year, maybe a little bit less. But she's
about a year, because if you remember, it was her and Lyra for the IC title right after Mania.
Yeah. So it's like you've had her there, and I don't know if I'm ready for her to go back into the main title picture, but I think it's a good place for her. It has been a good place for her because it's given her something to do, right? She's not just been in pointless feuds. She's been helping to elevate the IC title, make it feel important. And there's been a lot of really wonderful work by Becky and Lyra and Bailey and everybody else that has been involved in that title hunt, AJ, like, to elevate and establish that title and put it in a really, really, really solid, good place. But I think, yeah, moving forward, you need to have Becky expand back out beyond the IC title again. And now that you have, I think you're going to have the conclusion to, like, Liv and Stephanie, and you're going to be moving some stuff on. You could move Becky back into that main contention slot, but I don't know. I just don't know what they intend to do, what they plan to do. But yeah, so very solid, very good match. Very good conclusion. Very well done, ladies. Up next, I'm not sure if he was on fire or he was gassy, but Seth Rollins took on Gunther in a singles match.
Enjoyable.
If you don't know the reference, Seth came out and he was smoking.
With black eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say, with blacked out eyes.
At least Gunther could let him get the contacts out first.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he got him out by the base of the ramp.
This was the best technical match on the show because it was going to be just by default, Gunther and Seth Rollins. Enjoyable match. It won't go down in history as one of the best Seth Rollins or Gunther matches on a show, but it was enjoyable.
I think Lindsay brought up a good point on Thursday when she was saying the fact of, like, Seth is someone that was going to challenge Gunther, which is what I think we needed recently. Especially in a match where there's not the stakes of a career on the line. You needed someone who was going to take the fight to Gunther and Seth from the bell. I mean, Gunther got the first shot in, but Seth was matching him blow for blow and even, you know, putting Gunther into the table at one point to really kind of make you go, is Seth really going to win this one? Is he going to take down Gunther on WrestleMania? And I thought the announcers did a good job bringing up the fact of, like, WrestleMania hasn't really been kind to Gunther overall. He's lost to Sammy.
Yeah.
He's lost to Jay, and it's that kind of thing, like, Gunther had to get back on track, and Seth has a pretty good WrestleMania resume.
Mm-hmm. He does.
So,
especially winning last year's main event.
Yeah, last year, he won night one main event. You know, he has probably one of the most iconic moments of cashing in Money in the Bank in the middle of the main event. And so, like, Seth really kind of gave you moments when you're watching this match of going, oh shit, is he going to get Gunther? And when he put Gunther in that sleeper, you kind of thought, wait, is he doing this? Because Gunther's flailing trying to get to that rope.
So, WrestleMania moment number 3 happened in this match. The return of Braun Breaker.
He's cleared, y'all.
Who speared the shit out of Rollins into the barricade. Holy shit.
I don't think he can spear softly. I think he has one setting, and it is just through a wall.
It looks so and awkward then when he hit up. Yeah. But when Rollins hit the barricade, that looks so like it hurt. Ooh. This is such a weird angle.
The barricade one, I at least look at and go, there's padding there. But the one on the ramp.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. But no, it was the angle in which he hit him.
Oh, yeah.
That is like, ooh.
Well, he's a former college linebacker?
Yeah. That wasn't a straight-on hit. That was he hit him, and Seth angularly went into the barricade, which, yeah. That puts him into the rib/hip/back area, and you don't really take a bump that well in that spot.
No.
Ask Finn Balor what it's like to go into a barricade at a bad angle.
Yeah. Gunther won, by the way. So people are aware. But then he came back, hit him with another spear, so, and then Paul Heyman came up to celebrate. So
he went the entire length of the ramp for that second spear.
Fast.
Yeah, he did.
Lindsay's talking about he only has one speed. That speed is holy shit.
Here's the thing. It takes him a minute to get going. He's kind of like a semi, right? Like, it takes him a second to get up to speed, but once that motherfucker gets up to speed, Jesus. It's like stopping a truck.
Well,
and he just slams into you with the full force he can.
With any comic book fan out there, he is legitimately Juggernaut.
He is.
If you let him get up to speed, you're screwed, because he is unstoppable. You've got to catch him in those first, four steps. And if you want anyone that can talk about what a Braun Breaker spear is like, go ask iShow Speed, because remember, at the Royal Rumble, he folded him like an accordion.
And Speed talked about it. He was like, yeah, that kind of hurt. I mean, he sold it, obviously, but like...
Oh, he sold it. But I think anytime you ask someone, because it's like, you've seen spears from Roman, you've seen spears from Lashley, you've seen spears from, you know, Jey Uso. You've seen the ones from Goldberg. Goldberg is probably the closest, because he also comes from the football background. But mm-hmm. I wonder if you ask anyone what it's like to take a spear from Braun Breaker, even though they're trained and even though it is safe, they still probably go, yeah, you feel that.
The thing is like, with the different types of spears, you see how hard the shoulder impacts and like the consistency of how people sort of like fold in half and to the degree of which they fold in half. So you can tell who's really kind of gentle with it. Like, Edge was always really kind of gentle with it. He knew how to make it look really sick. But Edge didn't go full force in the shoulder. Goldberg was a little bit rougher. And then there's Braun Breaker, who I swear to God just attempts to take out people's stomachs and intestines literally because he can. Because there is full on contact. He picks people up. He folds them in half and he puts them through something, whether it's a barricade, whether it's a wall, whether it's the mat. Doesn't matter. There is a consistency there that is just frightening. And it's like Gunther's chops and Braun's spear, right?
Oh, yeah. Those two elements attack someone's soul. That's not just hitting the body. That is like putting them into a new level of being.
It's like, oh God, I don't want to take that. I don't want to take that. But yeah, so like the match was fine. The match was good for what it was, right? Which we didn't really get too much of a build around this. This was sort of like put together at the last sort of minute. So we maybe had, 3 weeks of total build, a month of total build on this. And it was... Gunther essentially doing Heyman a favor, which Gunther's going to get payback for later, which we all know what that's going to be potentially. So it's not going to be a huge surprise when that goes down. So that kind of lays the foundation work for this here. But like the match was good. It was fine. I think they did, because it is such a mismatch. And like the last time we got it, it was just sort of like, yeah, this is good, but it wasn't great. Like, I think this was a much better outcome for them because they have worked before. So there was a little bit more of like the mental challenge for Gunther, but there was a physical challenge for Seth. And I think he had to step up a little bit physically because I think he was doing stuff that we haven't seen him do in a long time just to get away from Gunther. He's like, oh no, oh no, I'm going to get squished. Oh no.
Well, and this is Seth's first real action since coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a little physical with, you know, the stomps and getting involved with the angles on Raw, but we haven't really seen him in a match until this night. And I think it was one of those where we talked about before, like, okay, he wasn't going to go full 110%, but it's also like he needed to show that he was okay in certain respects.
Yeah, agreed. So up next, this is where Brett and I are going to have opinions. Liv Morgan took on Stephanie Vaquer for the Women's World Championship. Stephanie looked fantastic. I love the rose petals falling from the sky. She looked amazing. Poor Liv. Poor Liv. They couldn't do her standard makeup because of the face injury, so she had to go without. She did her entrance to her song where her clothes were ripped off. Do with that what you will.
That goddamn song.
Would you like to discuss it?
For those of you who don't know, Liv got a new song on Monday, which is a take on her previous theme, but now with holy shitty auto-tune. And it's one of those, like, I think the only people who are really excited about that are the Liv stans, who are gonna like anything she does. I think anyone else heard the song, and yes, it's basically her same theme, it's just with new lyrics on it, but it sounds awful. And she's lip-syncing as she's coming to the ring as, you know, she's, for lack of a better term, dry-humping the one male dancer that's out there.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened.
And I was just, and they peel the clothes off of her, and I was like, okay, that's a choice. Because it's also, like, skin-colored, her outfit. So you're kind of like, okay, again, that's a choice. Liv looking like she has experienced all of Coachella in one night.
Oh my god. Yeah, she looked really rough.
She looked rough, but it's just like, that part of that theme is like, in my opinion, it's Uso bad. And people were shitting on the fact that the Usos got the new music, but yet they're cool with this, and I didn't understand it.
Pretty girl.
But I think it's just the fact that it's Liv, and I think she can get away with a lot by being who she is in terms of cute blonde girl.
Yeah.
Which gets into what we think of the match, at least Lindsay and I.
Rock, before we go down the rabbit hole, would you like to offer an opinion?
Use credit code ROCKINSOCK at the 49ers shop by Liv Morgan right now, hashtag epic partner. If I say anything positive about the match, because I enjoyed the match, I thought it was fun. They're going to talk other opinions. They're going to talk about other opinions about the match and the outcome of the match. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was the right outcome because Stephanie needs to chase. They're going to talk now.
I understand where you're coming from. I thought Liv was going to win because of a couple of reasons. I thought, you know, she won the Rumble. She has a Fortnite skin out now, as you just mentioned. And I thought, you know, the fact that she's popular and she has the Judgment Day, and she's now kind of essentially the de facto leader of it. So yeah, the belt makes sense for her. All of that I totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lindsay and I have a certain viewpoint, though, of what Liv is as champion. And I will let my cohort go first.
I think, like, the main issue with it is, to me, and I think also to Brent, is it's not interesting. No offense to the Liv stands out there, but Liv Morgan as champion is sort of copy-paste, where she does the same thing every time she's champion. She very much is resting on the gimmick that she's doing right now. She isn't really doing a lot to change it or evolve it. She's kind of been doing the same thing for the last few years. There's still a really heavy influence on the Judgment Day, so it's kind of like, kind of, we know sort of how this is all going to go in terms of the title reign, because we saw it tonight in the match. Like, the match itself was fine. The match itself was good. The wrestling was good. The outcome is the outcome. I don't agree with it. but I can't change it. Like, I don't think for Stephanie, I don't think they gave her as good of a reign simply because I think there were injuries involved. There was a lot of upheaval in the division. And so they did what they could with her. And she'll get the title again. Like, let's all be real. She will get the title again and she will have another reign and it'll be fine. But like, to me, Liv as champion isn't interesting. It doesn't do anything for me. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about, I think I mentioned this on Sunday before. I talked about it Friday, even though I did have Morgan picked. Liv, to me, and I think the simulation really hammered something home for for us, which was when we simulated this match, Liv Morgan had like two moves. Well, three technically. It was Three Amigos, it was Eddie Shake as a taunt, and then pulling out the Oblivion. I think she forgot a fourth, which is the Codebreaker, which she dropped a couple of times in this match. But when you get a Liv match, it's very much, as Lindsay said, feels cut and paste in terms of, okay, you know you're getting these three moves, probably fairly frequently. And then, as we saw with Roman, in terms of his bloodline reign, you're always just waiting for the Judgment Day interference because you know it's coming, you know it's how she's going to get that win. And so when you get her as champion or you get her in these matches, it's just a matter of, I'm waiting to see this hit. And going into this match, there was a small part of me that was thinking, I want Roxanne to turn here on the big stage and cost her. Because you could have Stephanie as champion. I don't think anyone would have had qualms with that. And you would have had an interesting story coming out of Mania, which is, and Lindsay, I think you brought this up Thursday, Liv cost her Judgment Day cohorts their shot. And we've had no repercussions for that. And the fact that also Roxanne was brought into the group by Finn gives you a way of going, okay, Liv and Raquel are buddy-buddy. Totally understand that. They can write off Liv costing her. Roxanne has been shown to be an opportunist. And so part of me is sitting there going, Liv screwed her. What's keeping her from going, okay, I'm not going to follow this? So I thought there could have been an interesting thing with that. There still could be. I mean, Monday could hit and we get something out of that. But
like, I think, yeah, and I brought that up Thursday, that it's like, for both Raquel and Roxanne, right? It wasn't just one, it was both that Liv screwed over, and the fact that we've had months of this going on, and granted, Roxanne got hurt, so she's been out, but, like, even, there's been no tension between Liv and Raquel at all. It's just like, oh, you fucked me over? Okay, great, let's be BFFs again. Which, I feel like, especially for someone like Raquel, who is trying to, where they like made this big effort to single her out and like push her on her own, especially as like Liv was out or Roxanne was out, you know, where they made the effort to make Raquel more of a feature, that she wouldn't be okay with that, right? Because it's like, especially for somebody in Raquel's position, where she's sort of third from the top in Judgment Day in terms of getting a shot at the title and way down the pecking order in the women's division, that the Royal Rumble is kind of everything to someone like her. So the fact that Liv cost her and essentially burned her to get her own shot at the title, like, you would think she would be more upset about that. And that just didn't tonight.
And for me, it's also the fact of, like, when Liv came back, part of the angle was that Roxanne was trying to be sweet on Dom due to Finn's his inkling, correct?
Yes, like, basically, they started it with Roxanne trying to be buddy-buddy with Dom. And I don't know if that was ever revealed why Finn was doing that, other than just to fuck with Dom or fuck with Liv. Like, I'm not sure. I would actually be interested to see if they, like, reveal that in this feud between Finn and Dom. Like, what some of Finn's motivations were. Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense why they brought Roxanne like that, or Roxanne in like that, excuse me, and had her flirt with Dom and try to like get Dom to cheat, which he did. And Liv is fine with that, which honestly, Liv, it makes sense in story. She's fine with that because she's told Dom off Rhea. So she can't exactly be mad about that. She has every right to be, certainly, but she really can't be mad at that situation because she did it first. But like, that whole thing was just never revealed, which was weird.
And when she came back with the John Cena thing, it's like she teased just for that brief moment of like possibly turning on Dom. And that was one of those things where in that moment, I kind of was like, ooh, this could be interesting. What happens if Liv comes back? And it was just, I saw what happened while I was away. That would have been intriguing. But then she returned to the Dom storyline and I kind of went, oh, we're getting what we've seen. And I think that's what we got with, no offense, Liv title win. People are happy, but like, I watched on the post show and she's just crazy Liv. And I was kind of like, okay, we got this.
Yeah. So. It's not to knock her. It's just, again, it's like, oh yay, another Liv title reign. Woo! Which means like, fuck ton. Like, I think for me as well, it's fatigue on the whole Judgment Day storyline. Because the Judgment Day has been around for what? 3 years at this point?
At least.
If not four. So like, it's just fatigue of, how much longer are they going to stay together and do this? And how much longer are they going to rely on this short, sort of like shtick, right? Where all they do is cheat to win. And they almost never get their comeuppance. And I think that's what's really causing the fatigue, is they just continue to get away with stuff. And nobody brings them to account. Nobody holds them to account for it. They just get to be assholes for the sake of being assholes. And it's boring. It's just boring because it's like, you know how it's going to go. Whether it's Dom, whether it's Liv, whether it's JD, whether it's Raquel, Roxanne, or when Finn was in the group, Finn, that they are going to cheat. There's going to be shenanigans. You can almost read it like a book before you ever even see it. So it's like, at what point do things change and this group either implodes in on itself due to ego, or somebody finally says, I've had enough of your shit, and they form a faction of their own. Like, think about it. The last time the Judgment Day got held to account was Damian and Rhea when they went for Liv and Dom, and by default everybody else. But like, that was the last time we saw any real like consequences or comeuppance for the Judgment Day. I think they just need to refresh it, right? And that could be what they're doing here, but I don't know, because they just like booted Finn out of the group and then everybody's like, oh, we're all happy again. We all love each other again. Even though there's plenty of issues between us, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my only issue with it. Like, the match itself was fine. The match itself was enjoyable. The outcome is not my favorite, but it is the outcome. So we will see where it goes from there. But we have happy news, guys. The EST is about to get more EST-er because we finally got an answer on the Bianca situation. Coming out in a lovely outfit is one Bianca Belair. Well, she makes a surprise appearance at WrestleMania. Nobody was expecting her. She marches herself down to the ring, and she gives us all very happy news after giving a wonderful speech. We thought it was her finger. Oh, no. No, it was not her finger. Oh, no.
It still is her finger, I think.
It still is her finger. But there's a complication to the finger. Bianca's pregnant.
I was going to say 10 other fingers.
10 other fingers, 10 other toes. Bianca is pregnant, and she's probably, what, 6-7 months?
That I don't know. They didn't.
Based on size?
They didn't reveal that. Yeah, she's got a bump. It's not a full bump, but
it's a bump.
There is a bump there.
So congratulations to her and Montez. She looks fantastic. She was glowing. Cena came out and celebrated with them with her, and everybody was excited and happy for Bianca. But unfortunately, that means that Bianca will be out for a while longer to welcome her wonderful bundle of joy into the world with Montez. Which,
by the way, Angelo Dawkins, God damn you.
Weakest pullout gang
ever. Weak pullout gang. God damn it.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to pick to have a baby, now's the time to pick to have a baby. But no, it was like they kept being very mysterious about what was taking so long, and you weren't seeing photos of her and you weren't getting updates on her. And it's like they were like, I think it was a news report came out that she was going to be out for at least 9 more months. That was the rumor. Or she was going to be out for an undetermined amount of time, but it would take her into next year for sure. And so she was going to miss all of 2026. And I think I said it to Rock, or maybe I put it in our group chat. It's like, is she pregnant? Because normally they would tell you, or they usually tell you about what it is, if someone's going to miss a significant amount of time, which she's already missed. Like, I think she missed almost all of 2025. Or at least half of it, I feel like.
She missed half of it because she was in chamber last year.
She hasn't wrestled since last WrestleMania. She did one appearance as a referee.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She was the ref in the Naomi Jade match.
That's all she's done.
And so she's been out for at least a year, and then she's going to be out for at least 2 years. And when they said that, it's like, is she pregnant?
I don't know where you heard this. I never heard that story from anywhere.
I probably saw it on Twitter or something like that, but it's like, is she pregnant? Because again, when they get really ambiguous, that's usually what they mean, because that's the same thing that happened to Naomi when they were like, oh yeah, she's hurt or has a thing.
I think you can speculate on it. And if you go back and watch the Slim Jim ad that's been running,
you can tell
she's wearing a full shirt. Yeah. When does she ever wear a full shirt?
Well, I mean, it is for Slim Jim. You know, they...
No, but there's another... The previous year Slim Jim, she was in her normal... She had, like, Slim Jim gear. There was a difference. So when you put the pieces together...
Yeah.
There were clues.
there were clues.
But congratulations to Bianca and Montez. They will be wonderful parents to their new bundle of joy, as well as their other children.
Yeah, so as the... So as the host, John Cena, in his suit...
Still weird to see him in his suit, John Cena.
At least it was blue, you know, to honor the jorts.
There was 50,817 people in the building.
It did have to get amended to 17.
Yeah, it was the never seen 17.
God damn it, Rob!
Main event time.
All right, let's talk about this shit show of a situation. Not a match, but a situation. So, we have Randy Orton with Pat McAfee taking on your champion Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed WWE Championship with the stipulation that if Randy Orton lost, Pat McAfee would leave the professional wrestling industry permanently. I would like to say thank you to Cody Rhodes for not wearing the stupid white skull mask. He had a shiny variant, but at least it wasn't like the double the size of his head.
I liked Cody's entrance.
It was good.
Calling back to all of his different looks.
I popped for the grotesque, I'm not gonna lie. That was always my favorite gimmick for him. Like, Stardust was fine, but like, grotesque really kind of showed you what he could do.
Yeah. Oh, undashing Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
Brent? Would you say they showed off his legacy?
God damn you. We're watching, and the first thoughts out of my mouth is they show Cody in like his original green gear, and I was just like, I swear to God, if they don't show Stardust, I'm going to fucking lose it. As I type it, the next one out. I was like, okay, cool.
A friend of mine, her kids are huge Cody Rhodes fans. She had to explain Stardust to them. She's like, I don't know how to do this, help. It is like, Nope, you on your own.
With that, you don't
know how to explain it.
You know what? I would say with that, you don't explain it. You just have to experience it. Like, you just need to put videos on and be like, this is what we got.
I don't know if you can show that to children. I mean, I know it's not to the level of Gold Dust, but...
I mean, though, if you show it to children, they probably like it more.
I don't know about that. But thoughts and opinions on the match.
I mean, the match got off to a hot start.
It did.
Pat got ridden up real quick. We saw the first 5 minutes of that match, and Pat was taken off on a stretcher, and I think everyone was just like, well, all right then.
That takes care of that. I think it was funny because we were sitting here, and Pat was like attacking Cody, and the fight ensues, and it's like, isn't Jelly Roll supposed to be there somewhere? And then sure enough, there's Jelly Roll to put Pat through the table.
I will say, I really liked when you had the entrance of Randy Orton and Pat McAfee, that Michael Cole was just let go in terms of explaining Pat McAfee at that point.
Yes, we should add that Pat McAfee was cursing out and flipping off fans as he walked to the ring.
But, I mean, it's a necessary like plot hole that I think some people would explain, because for the longest time we've heard, like, Michael Cole and Pat McAfee are best friends. Look, they've been on the commentary desk for years together. And you heard Cole when McAfee first walked out, and you're kind of like, wait a minute. And it's almost like they heard people and were like, all right, we're going to explain this for about 2 or 3 minutes just to get it done. And Cole ripped into him.
As he should, goddammit.
I thought it was well done.
You have to explain it somehow, especially with Pat's heel turn. Like, because he can't be BFFs with Cole anymore, right? Or, I mean, he can. But, like, if the whole point is to make Pat McAfee a bad guy, which I guess this was the whole point of this, I don't know, then you have to do something, right? And the rejection of Michael Cole to Pat McAfee in front of the audience is a good way to do that. So, it was nice. It worked. But it's just like, again, why did he need to be there? I don't know. But he was there.
I also liked that they put the psychology in the match of the Orton injury that we've heard on social media the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, they went right into it. Orton hurt his back. And then that was the story throughout the rest of this match, was Randy's working a specific style and it's because he's hurt.
Yeah. So I like how they explained that. I like how they did that. This got very physical. There's lots of back and forth. Rock?
Yes.
Do you have opinions?
I mean, the match was okay. Was it the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time? No. But if Randy was actually hurt, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you saw it in his face. He was selling the pain, real or not. And for a guy who had back fusion surgery, you know any flare-up will kind of limit you.
Any kind of back injury you have, if you get those spasms, that... It hurts to walk at that point, yeah. Let alone wrestle a match.
Yeah.
I thought they took Pat out of the situation, which they needed to. He came back, did the referee spot at the end, and then ate the RKO, which was...
Not a huge pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that played back to Chamber. Randy took advantage when Cody hit a crossroads and hit an RKO. Randy hit RKO... And then Cody hit the crossroads. So from a logical standpoint, it worked. And then after Cody retained, Cody gets punted in the head.
Yep, Randy grabs the belt during celebration, hits Cody with it, and then sees him sitting there and goes, well, time to listen to the voices.
Randy's like, you know what? I've been waiting a long time to do this. I'm going to do it.
So yeah, Cody got one upside the head. But as Lindsay brought up earlier, barring we find out something happened with that signature on Friday night, Pat McAfee's gone.
Yeah, it's the phrasing, leave the professional wrestling industry permanently.
You would never see me again in professional wrestling.
Which there technically is a loophole. WWE is not professional wrestling. It is sports entertainment. So if you really, really wanted to loophole it and stretch it, because it is a reach. I'm not going to lie. It is a reach. But you could do it. I don't think they're going to, though.
No, Randy turning on Pat at Mania feels like that's it. Because, as we talked about Friday, conceivably, we thought the next step was going to be a tag match at Backlash. Mm-hmm. After tonight... That's all changed. I think we get more of Cody and Randy at Backlash. But yeah, I don't know if Pat's involved in that, because I think this was a way of writing him out from the storyline fully. Because both people beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, yeah, like Pat got his comeuppance in this one. I don't see a need to involve him in this any further. Now, if he wants to come back later or they figure out a way to write him in later, that's great. If not, that's fine too, because now we can reset the feud on Cody and Randy. We can fully tell that story if they want to, however they want to tell it. But they can kind of give everybody really sort of the feud that we wanted between Cody and Randy. I do like that they brought up the history between the two. I like they were showing the early interviews of Cody when he was like fresh out of high school. Like, damn, he was young. Damn, he's not old now, but like, you just look at how young he was in those verses now. I like how they did all this. Was it the best match I've ever seen? No, but it was a Randy Orton match, right? Those are typically not very fast paced or fast moving. They can be at times, but he's very slow. He's very methodical. A lot of chin holds, a lot of rests. I like how methodical he was throughout this. I like Cody matching that energy with him, because he wasn't happy-go-lucky Cody. He was intense Cody.
Well, that's one of the interesting things that happened during this match. You saw Cody hitting the low blow when Randy tried to hit him with one. You saw Cody put in an eye poke that got Randy to hit the RKO on the ref. you're seeing some stuff there where, like, if they ever wanted to do the double, they could in this instance.
They could. I don't know if they're going to, but they absolutely could. Like, I think Cody leaning a little bit more tweener would help him, especially with the fans. Because people are, again, Cody is kind of sort of the Liv, right? He's doing the American Nightmare gimmick, but he's doing the same thing he did 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. There hasn't been a lot of variation or change or movement in the character. And so it's, you have to do something where it's, you have to add that difference because people are bored of him. They're overexposed to him. It's the same thing over and over. It's not interesting. Randy to people was interesting because it's, we haven't seen Randy as a champion for a long time. Everybody was liking what he was doing. It was very different for him as a character. And to see him go back and try to play the heel again is always fun because Randy is probably one of the best heels they have in that company, if not the best. Kevin is like right there with him in terms of just being an absolutely fantastic heel. So like you have all of that there. And so it has to force the Cody character to do something. So I like that they did add those. Maybe he did the eye poke. He did the low blow. Like he did things that are a more, I'm going to stick to my guns and be the good moral guy, because that was always the one thing that pissed me off about John Cena. Was it's not a human reaction for a lot of people to do that, right? To be, I'm going to take the high road every time. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to try to find the path of least resistance in this. I'm going to do everything by the book and technically in some cases the hard way. That's not feasible, right? Well,
that was why I think a lot of people popped at Elimination Chamber last year when John capitalized on the pump or on the curb stomp.
Yeah.
When he pulled him into the center of the ring and was like, all right, I'm going to do this. Everyone's kind of like, oh, okay.
Hey, welcome in. Yeah, like it's that kind of thing where it's the human reaction where you see the opening and you take it. In this match with Cody, he saw the openings and he took it. He anticipated what Randy was going to do because the whole crux of this feud is that Randy and Cody know each other like the back of their own hands. They're friends. They're colleagues. They've come up together in the industry and each took their own path to get where they are. So Cody knows Randy just as well as Randy knows Cody. So Cody's going to anticipate that, yeah, Randy's going to go for low blows. He's going to go for pokes in the eye. He's going to go for whatever he can to get the victory because that's who Randy is. He's an opportunist. And if the opportunity does not exist, he will make it for himself.
I think it also plays into the build that we saw for this match in terms of Stephanie talking to Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, she specifically pointed out the fact of, like, you asked for him to listen to the voices. You know, realize how dangerous what you're asking for is. You need to realize what you need to do in terms of that. You're not expecting, you know, the way you are is not going to win this.
Yeah.
And when Cody says thank you to that, maybe that is that acknowledgement of, okay, if Randy's going to hear those voices, if he's going to take those chances, then I'm going to have to in order to survive. So in this match, you do see those things where it's like, okay, if he's going to try and low blow me, fair's fair. You get one in the giblets as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, final thoughts, opinions, predictions for tomorrow.
You sure we have enough time? Have we not?
I don't know.
Does anyone have a stopwatch for tomorrow?
I've had my timer going this whole time.
Because, you know, that's what people care about. People are... Final comment on the stopwatch, people. There's an article I read on the website.
I knew you'd come.
Hold on.
Highly Ontrux just subscribed with Prime. Always enough time.
Apparently not enough for everybody. Thank you, Sarah, for 25 months. There was an article already as we were doing the show, and I was like, okay, let me see what this is. They were a third, like, they counted the seconds of the build for the Liv Morgan Stephanie Vecchia match of 30 minutes of TV time. What are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? Because if we're writing articles like that, like, what are we doing?
Apparently measuring how much TV time every build got.
Like, look, come on.
You put this tweet in our chat, and I just want to bring this up on the show. On WrestleMania Night 1, there were no backstage segments. There were no pre-match video packages, which is exceptionally unusual. That's a break from tradition. There was no elaborate stage setup, which I would disagree with that. I think the stage setup was actually pretty elaborate once you got it all turned on, because it could change and evolve depending on the entrance. But the structure was fine, especially once you got the graphics in there. It looked good.
I'm gonna stop you. 1 through 16, please, somebody show me an elaborate stage. Someone. Anyone.
Yeah. Main Event had a promo package, but nobody else did. And no, 1 through 16, they did not have elaborate stages.
Okay.
Because they didn't have the money.
And I'm going to say this repeatedly. Okay, there was no promo packages to promote the matches.
5 hours of wrestling, of pre-show.
There was a 3-hour fucking pre-show where there was tons of promo packages for every goddamn match that they've had. Like, what are people... They would complain if they ran the promo packages during the show. It's taking away from their... They ran an ad. By God.
Okay.
They ran an ad.
Rock, I'm gonna center this with what this is presented on. And Rock and Lindsay watch plenty of sports, as I do. Mm-hmm. When you watch a football game, a basketball game, basketball's a little different, but if you watch like a football game and some other stuff, when they're presenting the game, do they cut to promo packages?
No.
Do they show the human interest story during the game? No, they may talk about it while it's going on, but usually that's your halftime, that's your pre-show, that's that kind of stuff. I know people are, you know, when we talk about AEW, it's, oh, look, it's your pre-show, or I'm sorry, your pre-match hype thing, and then your 20-minute match, and then it's going to go right into the next match, and go right into the next match. Hey, Rock, last weekend, how did we both feel watching / surviving the AEW pay-per-view Dynasty?
It was a lot. Here's a stat that people on the internet want you to blow your minds with. In-ring wrestling time, 1 hour and 26 minutes, total 7 matches. Approximately 1 hour and 14 minutes of ad time. 12 less minutes of ads than wrestling. TK are generally ruining everything.
Okay, I just want to say this, because I work in marketing. I work in advertising, okay? I'm going to say this from an industry's perspective, and it's not an uncommon thing. It's very well known. The commercial length, the commercial timing, is determined by the platform. It's not determined by the content. They can suggest to the platform where they would like the commercials placed, which I believe is what WWE does. But in terms of the number of commercials that are going to get booked onto the show, the length of them, that is all determined by the platform. And all of that content is loaded in by the platform. WWE doesn't necessarily have 100% control over what gets aired for their commercials or for how long. And so the fact that they were told, okay, you have an hour and 4 minutes of commercials on a 4-hour show. How do you want to divvy them up? And they said after every match for this length. Or ESPN came to them and said, you have this much commercial time. This is how we're going to divvy up. This is how we're going to place it. And WWE said, fine.
Can I make a point?
Yes.
Because Brent just made the point. Brent, how long is a football game?
Roughly 3, maybe 4 hours tops, depending on how much they run or pass the ball.
How long is a football game?
Oh, game, 60 minutes.
Everything else besides 60 minutes is filler, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Commercials, replays.
It's 2 hours. In a 3-hour game, there's 2 hours of filler. 1 hour is 1 hour of action. Like, come on, people. Get off the stopwatch.
Here's the thing. If the commercials piss you off that badly, and you find them so intolerable, why are you still watching the product? Because it's not like they aren't going to be there. We are now in the stage where the digital content providers, they're going to have commercials on almost every platform. The days of a commercial-free Netflix are gone. The days of Disney and ESPN being commercial-free are gone. They understand that in order for these platforms to survive, they have to put ad content on there. That's why it's there, is to help support the platform so it can make additional money. Because again, they have all realized, they being the providers, that subscribership alone is not going to support these platforms. And relying on it solely to get the money, that's no bueno. That's why you're seeing ads come onto everything, is because they need the money to support the platform.
Costs go up, they need to make money. That's what happened. And guess what? We've all lived in a world where commercials have been running our lives since the beginning of television.
Yep.
I hear people bitch about US TV with the fact, oh my God, there's like 3 commercial breaks during a television show. All right, cool. You can you know, Britain has a version where the commercials ran at the end of the show. But guess what? They still have to run. It's the same length of show. It's just a matter of what, how long they run those ads and where it's being placed.
Traditional television are 42-minute length shows with 18 minutes of ads.
And also, let's put it this way. WrestleMania, not an inexpensive thing to run.
And it doesn't, and it's run, and the ads are running on two different platforms. So you have to run two different sets of, like, you're running two different brand ads, essentially. It might be the same ads, but you're serving two masters at once.
Yeah.
Like, you're, well, people are complaining, oh, pay-per-view prices. It's like, yeah, you're pay, if you're paying $50, you're not going to get ads all the time. You're not paying $50. That's why it's expensive. I saw one comment. You support indie wrestling. There's no commercials. Right. There's no commercials. How many ads are on an advertisement for professional wrestling indie event?
Oh, they always have a presenting sponsor.
There's about six. There's about six. There's your advertisement, a.k.a. commercial.
Well, aside from that, support indie wrestling. Okay, cool.
Do it.
How is indie wrestling mostly supported?
Tickets.
Probably gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're running WrestleMania, which is a spectacle, and you've got people, if you don't want ads, there's two things that could happen. One, you run a smaller show, which I don't think anyone wants because you want that big spectacle. You want the whole pomp circumstance and everything. If you cut some of that out, guess what? People bitch about it. The other way that you get revenue, aside from doing ads, is guess what? Because it means you bring more money in that way. But the second you raise ticket prices, hey, Rock, what happened on social media when you saw the ticket prices for WrestleMania 42?
Oh, my God, the ticket prices are so high. And guess what? There are 40,000 people who paid full price for those tickets. There's 50,000 people in that building. There's 40,000 paid full price for their ticket.
I question their sanity, but good for them.
And I guess
and all of them were happy about the paying the price.
Yeah.
Everyone who complained about the ticket prices were on Twitter who didn't buy a ticket. Everyone in that crowd seemed to be cheering their ass off tonight. Am I wrong?
Your money's worth out of cheers. No, you were not wrong, but that doesn't mean they were happy about paying the price for a ticket. I don't know how happy I would be for dropping $50,000 to sit front row at WrestleMania.
But if you can afford it and want to do it?
Yeah, if you can afford it and want to do it, great.
Right.
Yeah, do it. Like, I'm not telling anybody how to spend their money. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, but they keep saying, oh, we're pricing out the audience. Are they overpricing? Yeah. But they're still selling out, so there's people who have the money to go do it. Like,
I simply put this. All of you stopwatchers who want to talk about how little wrestling there was on this show, guess what? You've got options. And by all means, go watch them if you want to. I watch a multitude of wrestling, and I can tell you, like, to me, I got more out of WrestleMania than I did watching Dynasty. And don't get me wrong, Dynasty is very good for some of the in-ring product they put on. Some of it, Rock knows, we questioned the shit out of because it was out of left field and got awful. But if you want 6 hours of wrestling, cool. You have an option for that. If you want story, there are options for that. That is where we're at in today's product. You can find something you want, but it doesn't mean you have to just, you know, shit on this because it's not what you want. You can be critical, but it should probably be more constructive.
I'm just going to go off because I'm just reading feedback. They're letter grading the segments on the show.
Is star rating copyrighted?
Apparently.
Wait, what's Cage Match's ranking?
I didn't get there.
Okay.
Bleacher Report's telling me things.
Oh, so Bleacher Report.
They rated the Bianca Belair segment.
Huh?
Yeah. Guess the grade.
C.
C plus.
We're ranking a pregnancy announcement.
Yes. Internet.
That's so rude.
Find something else to do.
You know, there wasn't enough pyro for announcing the kid, so I'm only giving it a C+.
It is odd to grade a moment like this, as it's such a personal moment for the EST of WWE, but it was presented as a WWE moment in this setting. That's the language used. Like, what?
Naomi announced she was pregnant.
You know what, Rock? I'm going to give the Adam... I'm going to give the Adam Cole possible retirement announcement a B-, because really, he just didn't cry enough. Not that we're talking about someone who may possibly have to no longer compete and was there in front of a crowd expressing that, because people would have questioned otherwise. No, no, I'm going to give it a grade and talk about, well, if we're looking at a segment, Daniel Bryan's retirement announcement, that was an A. That really hit home.
God. I only clicked on the article because it said WWE fans are complaining about the show. So I was like, I was waiting for fans' comments in the article. It was just the dude or whoever wrote it.
I still like the one guy who bitched and moaned about not getting his credential.
Oh, I saw that.
That's...
I was like, huh? What?
There's politics in that one. Not going to touch that one.
Yeah.
The internet. This is my hope. Find something else you enjoy. Find it. Because clearly this is not what you enjoy anymore. Put the stopwatches away. Enjoy the show. They gave you four WrestleMania, big WrestleMania moments in night one. And y'all are unhappy on the internet.
I don't understand hate watching. I've never understood that. Like, I get you watched the show, you didn't enjoy it, it didn't go the way you wanted it to go. I respect that, right? Because everybody's entitled to that opinion. I do not understand people that walk into something with a negative opinion about it. They refuse to change that opinion based on what they see, even if it is fine or it's good or it's enjoyable, and purposefully shit all over stuff. Like, do you literally not have anything else to do with your life other than this? Like, if you don't watch it or if you don't enjoy it, don't watch it. Set it for years. Brent made the point. You have options. Go watch something else. In this world, you have a multitude now of options on streaming that you can go watch. It's not just limited to what's here in the States anymore. You can see stuff from Japan. You can see stuff from Europe. You can see stuff from South America. You can see stuff from anywhere you want to see it from. You just have to find it on the internet. That's it. It's a Google search. Go watch that. Like, it makes no sense to me.
So WrestleMania was generally a sad slop fest of some of the worst things that have been booked in current WWE history. And I can't believe we're genuinely in a time where the women's title match, world title match, is only 7 minutes. Other places is at 9. Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre don't even bleed in their unsanctioned match. That's not what unsanctioned means. And Pat McAfee interferes twice in the main event. We all knew that was happening. That's my commentary.
Yeah, that was
this amazing. This has generally been one of the worst booked WrestleMania nights, with one of the shittiest builds just to attempt to sell tickets. If the WWE... I mean, that's... They need to sell
that's
tickets.
Literally the point of why they build stuff, is to sell tickets.
If the WWE...
pandering to fans, what?
If WWE generally keeps going this direction, like they have been plastering brand logos all over the place, it's just not going to be enjoyable at all. I sincerely hope Night 2 is better than whatever this was.
It's going to have the brand logos on Night 2, guys. Just so
okay,
you know.
Okay, hang on. People are bitching about commercials. One way to get around it, you put logos places, because that's static. You don't have to worry about running a commercial. Yet people are going to bitch about logos on the ads and turnbuckles. Fuck off. You can't get both.
TNA's done it for years. AEW does it. Fuck, TNA had a ring apron banner for the general for years. Like,
you know what? Screw it. We're simply just going to either run 10,000 person shows, or we're going to up the ticket price, because people don't like ads. So congratulations, you get what you want, folks.
Listen to this comment. Probably the worst WrestleMania ever. 36% of all show are the fights. Absolute joke. Fuck TKO. Bring back old Triple H booking. Remove the ads and use correctly John Cena's host. 1 out of 10.
You obviously have not watched WrestleMania 9 if you're saying this is the worst one ever. Or 2.
13. 11.
Oh, 13 was one match. That's legitimately it.
Like, pure garbage. 3 hours and 55 minutes with 1 hour and 24 minutes of wrestling. Why are you counting? 4 matches under 10 minutes. Have you go look at your WrestleMania history. 2 above average matches and the worst main event in WWE history. I thought last year's was the worst main event in wrestling history. Nothing made any sense. TKO a joke and Triple H needs to go as well. WrestleMania is supposed to be a culmination of the years of angles, and yet they left us with a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
They left you with a cliffhanger? How dare they?
So you'll come back and you'll watch again on fucking Friday to find out what happens. Oh my god, a cliffhanger.
Okay, we talked about this in the lead up to WrestleMania, and I'm going to say this here. No disservice to Drew McIntyre. But if you told me the main event of night one at WrestleMania was going to be Drew McIntyre defending his title against Randy Orton.
Hey.
There's no story behind this. It's just Randy going for 15. There's no lineage between the two. Oh, you could have told a great story with Cody Rhodes. There's 20 years of history. Okay, we give you Cody versus Randy. Oh, this is not good.
By the way, you brought up Cage Match. These are where all the comments is on Cage Match.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty much assured. Okay, so you know what? Hey, what if you did a triple threat between Cody versus Drew versus Jacob?
That would be fun, but it's not a main event.
Or if it is a main event, people would probably bitch that it's overbooked because it's a triple threat.
0.0. I don't know what this was, but it wasn't WrestleMania. This isn't a rating they accepted. Rush matches, questionable results, invasive ads, a damn Hogan documentary longer than the actual matches. If a woman is a vision with a failed booking, an unsanctioned match with slow and sloppy, and a main event that makes no sense. The only good thing was Gunther versus Rollins, but the rest is so overwhelmingly bad it doesn't compensate it. Apparently on Netflix, they were showing Hogan clips.
You know, Le Mans brings up a really good point. What was it, WrestleMania 17, Austin Rock?
Yeah.
Ends with Vince McMahon and Steve Austin shaking hands as your go-home image. What does this mean?
Like the
whole
point
sure as hell were going to tune in on Monday Night Raw to find out, weren't you?
Exactly. It's like it's the culmination of a year's worth of storylines, and it's the beginning of the next year.
Hell, that's the culmination of years of storylines with Austin and McMahon.
Like, the whole point is to be entertaining and to hook you to get you to come back, not to satisfy you and then let you leave. Like, that's not how this works, guys. Are these any of these actual workers? I'm just curious.
No, these are fans. This is the gospel people that go off of now.
This is Pat McAfee shows up. It's an instant one on Cage Match because Pat McAfee is here.
Like, I will acknowledge he didn't necessarily belong in the feud. They sort of shoehorned him in. But that doesn't mean it was bad. It was just awkward. That's the difference. And at the end, he was there for what? 5 minutes total?
Yeah.
And then he was kind of gone. And the rest of it was Cody and Randy, which is what everybody wanted, was Cody and Randy. And they told the story that they were meant to tell.
And by the way, Lindsay, they gave you fan service at the end of that match. They gave you exactly what you wanted, which is Randy Orton RKOing the shit out of Pat McAfee.
And punning Cody Rhodes in the head.
And punning Cody.
How many years have we watched WWE WrestleMania and then they go to Backlash?
Okay.
Because that backs up LeMann's comment. I think certain matches should be rivalry ending, but just because to me it doesn't mean it signify the end of something. That's why they had Backlash. They did it for years. Again, people, 2.0, what was the point of this? Any of this? None of the matches felt special or really brought anything to the table. Seth Gunther was fine, but had so many breaks in the action and too many chops and power bombs.
It's a Gunther match.
Sorry, they weren't super kicks.
Braun
it's
Breaker.
A Gunther match. He slaps people's titties off. What do you want?
Braun Breaker was nice to see, but his spears are really bad. The women's matches really show how little the company truly cares about women as a whole.
That's bullshit.
That's a lie.
Okay. Hang on, I have one really important question to ask. So you had some people that were talking about the fact that this is the worst WrestleMania main event of all time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In recent memory, how many times have we watched a Roman Reigns main event? And I mean, not necessarily the Tribal Chief. I'm talking white meat babyface Roman Reigns. How many of those main events did we watch against Brock Lesnar where we thought, holy fuck, what is this?
Plenty.
Now compare that with what we saw tonight. Which would you rather have?
Tonight.
Thank you. Does it need to be gangbusters? No. Was it entertaining for what it was? Sure. Yeah.
Here's the thing. In theory, I'm not paying anything for this other than my cable bill. Because they've now integrated with Xfinity. So the only thing I'm really out is the time to sit here and watch this show. That's it. And as long as I get some enjoyment out of it, that's worth it to me. Because this is me sitting here for 4 hours watching this show, turning my brain off and enjoying something that is not the regular world. And not being reminded of all the shit that's going on in the world right now. and getting lost in the stories that were being told. That is the point of this, is to have that enjoyment, right? Like, that's what this all is. I walk into this knowing that not everything is going to be gangbusters. Because to me, that's exhausting. If every match is 10 stars, if every match is wonderful to watch, and there's no break in between, it's exhausting by the end. And it's like, there's a point where you stop processing that kind of stuff, and you forget half of it. And it doesn't even matter what they do at that point, because you're not registering what's going on. You're just watching. You're not processing. So, like, how they paced the show, how they handled the show, I thought it was fine. I didn't mind the commercial breaks, because you know what I did in between every commercial or during the commercials? I got up and moved around because I was watching a fucking 4-hour show. And I needed to do a lap around my house to, you know, like, not be stiff by the end.
One final comment. Go ahead.
Or, you know, go to the restroom or go get something to drink or go get a snack or whatever. Like, that's what the commercials are for. You don't have to sit there and watch them. You can go do other stuff. Especially if you know it's going to be like a 3-minute commercial break.
That's what you do during sports.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is the best comment so far. This might be the worst show WWE ever put on. Not even kidding. I've never felt this detached from watching wrestling. 4-hour show for around 3/4 of an hour of wrestling. So we're just making up facts now. Slightly over 2 hours of the show was just ads for things non-Americans can't even purchase. So you're watching the legal feed of the Netflix feed.
Yep.
No,
or you're an international person.
But he's saying non-American, so...
Yeah, non-American would indicate he's watching an illegal feed.
Yeah, because he's watching the international feed, not the ESPN feed. But the ESPN feed was things Americans can use. So... We're gonna accept this as a 0.0. No urgency in anything, no real feeling from anyone regarding them wanting to be here right now. 5 of the 7 matches were actively bad, and when they weren't booking behind them, was horrible. Listen, I'm sure there are hundreds of WWE shows that were worse from an in-ring standpoint, but the 2026 standards, first of all the matches weren't up to par. But most of all, it just felt like calling over this, the wrestling show is already stretching it. This was anti-wrestling. It was a 4-hour unskippable MAGA ad. How is any of that true?
Zara Color wasn't anything political in it.
No.
So this website that everyone banks on, this is what you're accepting. Congratulations. Their opinions are invalidated. This is your comments.
I mean, if y'all hated Night 1 so much, don't watch Night 2. Really? Kind of simple, because it's going to be the same.
Going to be the same. All right, we're done. I think.
I was going to say, do you need to let anything else out on air, or would you prefer to wait till we get off air?
I'm done.
Okay, Brent, do you have any final opinions?
No, I'm going to reserve some more talk for tomorrow.
Okay.
I got time and space there.
Okay. I just want to say this show was fine. Just to reiterate that, it was entertaining. Didn't really have a lot of problems with it. And for, you know, people before the show starts tomorrow, if you're going to watch it, please go touch grass. Thank you. So you guys have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Brent, plug, and then I'll do the spiel.
Yeah, so if you want to find me, I am on various social medias, X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, @KaneKittens or Kane.Kittens. If you've heard stuff tonight that you want a question, by all means, go to my Twitter and engage, because you know I make friends there.
I sure have.
You can also normally you find me on Saturday nights at this spot doing CB Radio with the Intern's Corner and all the other, you know, shenanigans that go on, which is what we'll be back to next week.
Ding.
One final comment. New Japan rings are full of ads, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all love that.
You have an example. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different ads on a ring mat there.
As you can see.
Yeah.
If you would like WWE to stay in business and continue to present to you, they have to make money. Because at the end of the day, they are a business, just like every other wrestling company. They are all businesses. They all have to turn a profit because they have bills to pay, just like the rest of us. The easiest way to pay your bills is to use somebody else's money to do it. So whether it's Gate or whether it's a sponsor, it doesn't matter. Other people's money paying your stuff is a good thing in this instance. Anyway, go ahead. Thank you.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen and subscribe to the channel so you don't see ads. Thanks, Sarah, for, was it 25 months?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Whenever the show ends, sounds like around 10. Normal time, we'll be live to talk all about it. We're back live for the Raw Post Show. Night after Mania. I know, that was the point. When Raw ends, we'll talk all about it on the Raw After Mania Post Show. We'll be back Thursday to review Night 2 of WrestleMania. And then next Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. Back live. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You could use creator code RockinSock or
Lin's M word
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy Brain Rot or Stone Cold Steve Austin and Liv Morgan. Why?
Current women's world champion Liv Morgan, you put some respect on that name.
I will.
Because we are hashtag epic partners. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, L-E-N-S-W-D. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, LinswardZero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So, everybody, go to bed because it's late, at least where we are. And get some rest because tomorrow is night 2 of WrestleMania, baby. So we will see you Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.